Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Cabinet meeting of Monday, the 18th of May. I will proceed with the agenda. So item number one is to receive apologies for absence. I can physically see that you're all here. Item number two is declarations of interest. Any declarations to make in respect of the items on the agenda? No? Okay. So item number three is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 20th of April 2020. So those have been circulated. Does anybody have any questions in relation to the minutes? In which case, I would like to propose that those are signed as a correct record. Can I have a seconder, Councillor Peters? All in favour? Councillor Allen, are you in favour? Are you moving? Doesn't seem to be. Okay. Any against? Or any abstentions? I think we'll just pause for a moment. Right. Can you hear us, George? Yeah, okay. I'm just gonna say that vote again then, because I think George wasn't connected at that point. So all in favour of accepting the minutes. Okay, that's unanimous, thank you. So I will sign those when I am able to. Right, okay. Item number four is to consider any urgent business brought forward and, to the meeting under Rule 12. I don't believe we have any urgent business. Okay. So item number five is the forward plan.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of May right the way through to the 31st of August this year. I'm happy to take any questions on the forward plan, but it probably is worth saying this forward plan could be affected by the impacts of COVID before we next meet at the next Cabinet.
Thank you. Yeah, I think clearly as the item that we're discussing later indicates, these are likely to be affected. Does anybody have any questions? No. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Right. So we will move on to item number six, which is the COVID-19 emergency planning update, May 2020, and James Abbott to present.
Thank you, Leader. I'll just let him into the meeting.
Okay, good evening, everybody. So, yes, we've pulled together an update report that provides a detailed overview of the latest situation with the Council services in relation to the ongoing COVID-19 emergency and the associated response to the pandemic from within the borough and the organisation. And as you can see from the document that was circulated last week, there's been a significant range of activities that the Council and its partners have been undertaking. And the report really details the story so far, if you like, with that situation and response. So I just was going to provide a very quick overview of those key points. And I'm sure you'll be familiar with much of it in any case from the various communications that have been happening, as well as the work that's been ongoing from across all the portfolios. So as I'm sure you're aware, all local authorities are Category 1 responders. So they have a statutory duty to respond to emergency situations. So planning for civil emergencies and ensuring the continuity of the Council's own services is really a fundamental and ongoing element of our normal operations. So an example of that would be that we accelerated our scheduled review of the Council's business continuity plans. And we examined those in early February with a particular eye at that time on the emerging COVID-19 situation and its likely escalation, simply to ensure that that all managers were thinking specifically about what they could do to ensure services within their own departments and that they continued, as well as the impact of any significant increases to service demand as a result of the emerging situation. So the council acted quickly in its forward planning, without knowing at that time the detail of what was to come in terms of social distancing and associated restrictions. But as an authority, we're always planning for emergency scenarios in any case. So it's of course been necessary for the council to plan for and react to a range of challenges and pressures that have arisen as a direct result of the pandemic. However, throughout the response, it's worth saying that while there's been an impact on our service delivery, as I'm sure you can appreciate, our critical services have continued. And the response has been managed through the activation of our local contingency plans, as well as other multi-agency action, which has been facilitated through the Staffordshire Resilience Forum, or the SRF. And because there's such a range of activities and different elements to consider across the response, we've been taking a balanced scorecard type of approach to the situation and the associated response. So we've been looking at four broad themes. So firstly, people and processes. Secondly, service changes and communications. The third theme is community and partners. And finally, there are things to consider under a fourth theme of finances. So the quadrant style table you can see on page 7 of the report, that shows a high level situation report on the response across those four themes. So that table really provides the focal point for the report and the update tonight. There's of course a lot of supplementary detail behind that, which I'll of course quickly summarise for you this evening. So in terms of people and processes, the key point here is really that the council acted quickly to move to home working and put in place the necessary decision-making framework at the March council meeting. And it follows on from that the range of policies and processes, such as the home working policy, family leave provisions that the council has in place, have had to be refined and guidance provided to all managers to be able to facilitate that. And in addition to that, there was the swift implementation of Zoom in order to successfully make that transition to the virtual decision-making environment, along with other day-to-day types of processes, such as the move to electronic sign-offs of documents, such as executive decision records, being an example. And finally, the key point on this theme is in terms of people, and of course there's been absences, and that's summarised in the table at the bottom of page 9. But of the 295 staff we have across the council, we've had just a total of 20 absences in terms of related sickness. And there are a further 15 that can't work from home, but have needed to shield. So, for example, they've got an underlying health condition or over the age of 70. So we've worked hard to protect our staff and our customers in how we manage our processes and ensure that the internal business infrastructure has continued to operate. Of course, there's been a number of service impacts, as I've mentioned. In terms of our facilities, the closures and the associated dates are shown in the table in page 11. Of course, there's been another of other services as well that have been affected or postponed. So, for example, the few elections that we've had scheduled for this year and the proposed extension to the selective licensing scheme have been paused, and not to mention the waste service impacts. So, in terms of that, while other collections continued, as of Monday the 23rd of March, Council did take the difficult decision to temporarily suspend its garden waste collections and its bulky waste service. However, the garden waste service subsequently resumed as of Monday the 20th of April. So suspending those brown bin collections, that allowed the refuse teams to focus on collecting the dry recycling and the residual waste following a reduction in the available staff. And with any service change, it's vital to have an effective communication strategy. So basically, our entire comms focus has been purely on the COVID situation throughout the core period of this response. The table on page 12 shows the peaks in the social media interaction that we've had. So for example, we've got the top 10 posts in terms of our customer reach. But using garden waste as a sort of key example there, we've hit a reach of over 66,500 people with that particular message across the two social media platforms that we use. It's also worth mentioning that I think in terms of the core period of that response, the the customer feedback that we've received has been generally positive in terms of the sentiment. In terms of community, there's been a lot of work with partners for our residents. We've supported the Central England Co-op and the Burton Albion Community Trust to launch the project there aimed at getting vital food and essentials to vulnerable members of the local community, as well as setting up the call centre at the brew house to support the County Council's messaging to ensure that all vulnerable residents identified are shielded and registered for and are receiving the NHS essentials. Another good example there is the housing options team. They've been working hard to succeed under the Everyone In programme. 28 homeless singles and couples have been accommodated under that programme, with seven of them having been resettled into the community. And finally, on that theme, just building on the previous point about communications and the reach that the council has, we've been able to use that reach to support other community partners in their communications by supporting their messaging, just to ensure that the community support available is as visible as possible, particularly for those that are vulnerable. That recognises the work that our voluntary partners undertake. And the fourth theme is a significant element of the pandemic to be considered is the financial impact on the council, but also on our residents and businesses within the borough. And this report doesn't specifically consider the financial position of the council, as the financial management unit are focusing on that, while this report focuses on situation and response. However, there will be an impact on the medium term financial strategy, and this is being monitored and updated on a regular basis, obviously to reflect the most recent information. But I think it's worth saying that the underlying financial position of the council is robust, and it provides a strong foundation to be able to respond to these issues through unprecedented circumstances. In terms of the response, the revenues team have worked hard to identify over 3,800 eligible residents on low incomes that will be able to get council tax reductions using the government's hardship fund. There's also been busy issuing grants to local businesses. This is, of course, an ongoing process, but as of the 12th of May, that figure was at 19.8 million, as shown in the report. But as you'll have seen from the press release issued on Friday, this has now surpassed the £20 million mark. So as a further update, as of 5 p.m. on Friday the 15th, the council had paid 1,734 business support grants, totaling £20.28 million. Also through the enterprise team, the council is working with partner authorities and other organisations across the region to share intelligence and align their operational responses to business support and economic recovery, and also providing advice to business on the range of schemes that are available to them. And there's been significant communications on that particular theme, just to get that message out across the borough. So there are a range of things happening from a financial and economic point of view. And really the final point that I wanted to make was sort of moving forward now. There are a number of elements for us to consider in order to maintain the ongoing response into the future. So the SRF have put in place a recovery coordinating group that will focus on recovery, and that's in parallel to the group already in place looking at the response side of things. Locally, we're looking at what things will look like within the authority as well moving forward. So that could be a protocol which reflects our own risk assessment measures, as well as the government-led guidance, because there is still, you know, detailed planning and guidance required to allow our workplaces to reopen. And similarly, there's going to be some impact on the indicators, I think has been alluded to in the item a moment ago. So the indicators that are set out in our corporate plan, there's going to be potential impact on a few of those. So that's an area that we'll have to review and consider. And with that in mind, the targets that specifically likely to be impacted, they've been attached as Appendix 1 to this report, just for information. So there's an area there for discussion as we move forward, noting that a small number of targets were identified early and subsequently amended at the full council meeting in March. So that's a summary of the report. I think it's clear there's been a significant response from across the council's portfolios. But as I say, critical services have been maintained despite those impacts that we have, of course, seen. So the recommendation is simply to note the report as an informational update. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any comments.
James, thank you very much for that and for the detailed report. I'll come up with some comments at the end, perhaps. Councillor Peters.
Thank you, James. That was really comprehensive and excellent report. I commend you on adopting the balanced scorecard approach to this, because when it comes to prioritisation and resulting in something like this, the four grid presentation is really, really precise in my opinion. I'm particularly impressed with the focus on the communities aspect, because I know there's a hell of a lot of work going on by the local authority, safeguarding the teamwork approach and the COVID testing station at the Pirelli. All of these are really, really helpful things for communities. And just to top it all off, of course, is the CCF fund is making a good contribution to supporting COVID. So I'm more than happy to note this report and thank the officers for the presentation and the preparation.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. Is there anybody else who would like to question or comment at this stage? Okay. So, as I say, thank you to James for the presentation and the report, and also again, I gave my thanks at the last cabinet meeting for all the hard work that had been going on throughout the whole council, and I think it's probably appropriate to do that again to the members of the council executive here tonight, and also to the members of staff across the organisation. Just to thank everybody for their incredibly hard work in keeping all of our critical services running and helping to keep people safe at what is a very difficult time. I think the report obviously and rightly focuses on our detailed response to date, and I think it demonstrates in a very detailed fashion the level of work that's gone into keeping our services running. What clearly I guess I would describe that as a response phase to the circumstances. It seems now that we are likely to be moving into the recovery phase, so clearly we need to be mindful of what we can do to help East Staffordshire in the recovery phase now that certain restrictions have been lifted and the economy is beginning to start to reopen. So clearly there's going to be a lot for us to do going forwards as well. I'm sure we'll be keeping this same level of detail up going forward in terms of that work as well. I think I'd also just highlight the numbers on the corporate plan mentioned. So we're looking at potentially over two-thirds of our corporate plan targets likely being impacted as a result of COVID-19, and again, obviously, that's something that we'll keep under close review. But it's probably worth noting at this stage, you know, that is, you know, two-thirds of our activity in terms of milestones, plan targets are potentially going to be affected. So does anybody else have any questions, comments, or observations? Or if we're all happy to note the content of the report? Receiving some nods. Yep. Okay. All right. Report is noted. Thank you very much. Right. In which case, that brings us to the end of our meeting. So thank you everybody for your attendance. And, CENC.